All right, so we've talked about this before, and we're going to talk about it a lot because it is, I think, one of the most important things we can do right now is to be aware of the threat to the 2026 election. And I'm encouraged to see that several states that tend to be Democratic are moving. One proposal is to prevent federal immigration agents from being anywhere near polling places and other election sites. There's a precedent for that. If you're a candidate or if you are with a candidate's campaign, you can't be getting too close to a polling place. You know, so there's a precedent for that. And there's even a stronger reason why it's a bad idea to have immigration agents or any kind of, you know, federal military or police authority at a polling place. It's very intimidating. And it's also based on this false premise that somehow the election is going to be stolen or corrupted. And we know that story, right? Back in 2020, you know, President Trump and his handlers and others just kept saying over and over again, stop the steal, the election was stolen. Nothing to see here at the U.S. Capitol with all these, quote, peaceful protesters, this day of love, even though the video footage and the real video footage, not the fake video footage, the real video footage shows exactly what happened. It shows nothing about it resembles a peaceful protest. Anyway, so despite that, sadly and disturbingly, over 60% of Republican voters still believe the 2020 election was stolen. So, you know, there's an old law. It's an old federal law, and that bans sending the military or other, quote, armed men to polling places. Except, well, there's an exception, and that's to repel armed enemies of the U.S. Okay, I get that. But what Trump is proposing to do, the enemy here is the lie that this election is going to be stolen, that the election of 2020 was stolen. And again, I've said this before on the show. There were, what, 8.2 million votes cast in Georgia in 2020? 20 of those votes were fraudulent. 20 out of 8.2 million. So, and the same here in Iowa. I think in Iowa we had a lot less than that. We had, what, 2 million votes here cast in Iowa? I think there were 35 questionable ballots. I mean, that's a rounding error. And some of those may have been people who innocently, mistakenly, and sure, there may have been some that were deviant, but come on, that is not a problem, you know. That's not going to tip an election. Okay, so it just shows you the power of a lie. Repeat the lie often enough, election stolen, and then you can, you know, get that amplified by certain elements of the media, especially on social media. And people will continue to believe the lie. Like, again, 60% of Republican voters still believe in 2020, the election was stolen. So I'm glad to see that there are states pushing back against the threat of having the U.S. military or ICE agents or other law enforcement from the federal government at polling places. We'll see how that goes. It bears watching. It bears repeating often, and taking action to counter it. I got to say a word about Kristi Noem. I'm going to quote Garrett Graff, who wrote, "To say that Kristi Noem will be remembered as the worst, most corrupt Secretary of Homeland Security is hardly worth writing down. Perhaps the best thing that can be said is that history's sad conclusion about the tenure of the dog killing, cosplaying, taxpayer fleecing, wallet losing, blanket losing, house stealing Noem will likely so focus on her comic book villain levels of personal corruption and high level living escapades with alleged paramour Corey Lewandowski that it will forget the sheer vile evil of her crimes against humanity." That is a mouthful. That's all one sentence, by the way. It's colorful, it's creative, it's clever. It borders on name-calling, although, you know, I mean, nothing in there is not based on something true. And, You know, I mean, how many, what was, I forget the figure now. Was it over $200 million that she spent? That may be the wrong number, but she spent this incredible amount of money promoting herself in ICE videos on horseback and doing other very American things. But what, I mean, and there's been a lot of people who are relieved that Noam is gone, and some of them, yes, Republicans as well. But remember, now, her sin was not that she did any of these things wrong, that there's this laundry list of things that Garrett Graff, you know, lists. It was that she threw Trump under the bus. You know, when she was questioned about some doubtful expenses, she passed the buck. And then Trump dumped her. And right now, it remains to be seen whether Mark Wayne Mullen is going to be better or worse as the new Kristi Noem. Arguably, he is less qualified. We'll see what happens with that. I gotta share one more thing from Garrett Graff for you. He says, quote, I've written plenty over the last years about the cascading man-made disaster that is DHS's immigration enforcement, how it is worryingly acting like it will never face accountability again, its chaotic hiring surge, how the Border Patrol's Greg Bovino is trying to make ICE even more violent, ICE's un-American raids, its collapse of moral legitimacy, and the terrible impacts on the rest of federal law enforcement, and how in 2026, sadly, it's all going to get worse. ICE, I wrote last year, is eating the soul of America. And I add that just because I think more and more people are realizing that what's happening with ICE in our cities, especially in Minneapolis, is very, very problematic, very anti-American, and very unjust. One way to understand that that's what's happening is you notice that ICE and DHS are not unleashing themselves on communities the way they did in Minneapolis. I have no doubt that they're going to continue to do what they're doing, and probably, you know, what, incarcerating or putting into detention the vast majority of people are not, quote, the worst of the worst. They're not people who have a criminal record, the vast majority. But I have a feeling that will continue, sadly. But I think right now there's been enough pressure from the public that it's not going to be quite as out there as it has been. So consider that a small victory. So I want to say a word about these the detention centers where people are being sent. There's a strong argument that we ought to be calling them concentration camps. Tim Dickinson with the Contrarian writes, Donald Trump's brutal ICE detention facilities have been blasted as concentration camps. Experts in the field have no hesitation in using these words to describe the network of facilities that the federal government is using to literally warehouse tens of thousands of immigrants, men, women, and even children. And I would add, not just immigrants, but in some cases, U.S. citizens. So a journalist, a guy named Frank Abe, he writes that ICE warehouses are, quote, nothing but 21st century American concentration camps. And I'm a third generation Japanese American, and I know a concentration camp when I see one. Now, the author points out that it's essential that we distinguish between concentration camp and extermination camp or extermination center, which is what existed in Nazi Germany. What we have here are concentration camps. But still, even there, people will die of disease, deprivation, denial of medical care, or some level of indifference. Another important critic here is Andrea Pitzer. She's the author of One Long Night, A Global History of Concentration Camps. And she says, quote, a concentration camp is a mass detention of civilians on the basis of identity, something you are rather than what you've done. It is generally used without due process, and it is done to entrench and expand political power for an authoritarian-style government. Well, that describes Trump's detention camps, concentration camps, perfectly. I mean, it's what's happening. You know, masked agents who don't even identify themselves, you know, are sometimes breaking down doors, kidnapping people, you know, taking them very, you know, quickly and quietly to a place where they are later shipped to one of these concentration camps. And again, I know it rubs people the wrong way because we consider what happened in Nazi Germany to be concentration camps, which they were. They were also extermination centers. And we must never forget how horrific that chapter of human history is. But we should start calling these what they are. They are concentration camps. They are concentrating people, not based on anything they've done, based on who they are. And in many cases, mistakenly. And again, the big lie that we're capturing the worst of the worst. What, 75-80% of those who've been detained have no criminal record? And I know I hear some of my friends on the right are going to say, well, Ed, crossing the border is a crime. It's not the same thing. And it is not a crime. And again, many of these people have applied for asylum because they are escaping a deadly situation in their home country. So, and I'm not one who says, you know, open the doors and let everybody in. There has to be a process. There has to be some sense of what we can accommodate. But this is not the way to deal with it. And I would say that I don't think any president, Democratic or Republican, has dealt with this problem appropriately. I will give Joe Biden credit for giving it a good shot and having a bipartisan agreement to at least some semblance of a new plan. That maybe you've already forgotten this, folks, but Donald Trump said, nope, kill that bill. I'm going to campaign on this issue. And that is about as cynical as anybody can get in politics. So, yeah, let's start calling it what it is, folks. These are concentration camps, not just detention centers. We're concentrating people there who don't belong there, who aren't getting due process, and who aren't getting treated with the humanity that they deserve.